Testing. Okay. At the end of last week, I ran through a couple of slides, which I don't know if you caught, you didn't catch. I wasn't sure. I just sort of wanted to get to a certain point. And so what I decided to do tonight was a brief summary of the last 10 minutes or so of last week's presentation, both for the benefit of kind of putting us on a new page, on the same page, as well as a lead into tonight's discussion. So if you remember, we had spent most of last week discussing the concept of the dechiyot, the four postponements for Rosh Hashanah, the four rules that govern the relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Molad Tishrei. In the absence of the application of any of these rules, Molad Tishrei determines the date for Rosh Hashanah for this year, and then Molad Tishrei of next year will determine the date of Rosh Hashanah for next year. These rules essentially maneuver us through the length of the calendar. They determine whether the calendar needs an extra day or a day less in order to set the day of Rosh Hashanah on a day other than Molad Tishrei. The rules are known by their kind of jingle, if you will, you can use that term, Lo Adu Rosh, Molad Zaken Bal Tidrosh, Gatrad Bipshuta Grosh, Betu Tokpat Achar Ha'ibur Akor Milishrosh. Essentially, all referring to the same thing. Four rules that determine that Molad Tishrei cannot allow Rosh Hashanah to fall on Aleph Dalet Vav, Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Molad Zaken refers to a Molad Tishrei that falls later than noon or 18 hours in the day. Rosh Hashanah is postponed to the next available day, assuming that Rosh Hashanah can't be Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Gatrad, Molad Tishrei introducing a simple year when it falls on Tuesday, 9 hours, 244 parts or later. Rosh Hashanah is postponed from Tuesday to Thursday because otherwise the day would be, year would be too, remember, one is too short, one is too long, I don't remember. Molad Tishrei following a gravid year falls 2 days, 15 hours, 589 parts. Rosh Hashanah is postponed from Monday to Tuesday. That's following a leap year, because otherwise the year would be too short. The other one is too long. That led us to the following discussion, which was the Kviya. This is going back to the last unit that we had started. And if you remember this chart, we had said that based on Lo Adu Rosh, these are the possible scenarios that Rosh Hashanah could be. Given we have two variable months, Cheshvan and Kislev, they manipulate the length of the year by 2 days. Kisidra is your standard year, 354 days. A day short is 353. A day longer is 355. However, certain year options are illegal. So, for example, a regular year when Rosh Hashanah falls on Tuesday cannot be allowed to be Chasera, because that would put Rosh Hashanah on a Friday. Similarly, a Rosh Hashanah date of Shabbos, that year cannot be Kisidra, because that would put Rosh Hashanah next year on a Wednesday, based on the length of the year. I only have those two variables to play with. And the same applies to a leap year, what days are illegal, except that the year is 30 days longer. That led us to this chart, which is a summary of the previous chart, exactly the same chart, just a summary. Namely, 14 variations of legal year types. Namely, Rosh Hashanah this year, whether the year is Chasera or Kisidra or Shlema, and the year being a leap year or a regular year. These are the variations of and permutations of the year. We'll call that a Kviya, but those are the only possible scenarios we can have. And once we take out the illegal ones that are Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, this is where things got a little bit tricky, and I think I lost a few people, so thank you for coming back. And this is where I wanted to pick up. Half the year contains all the variables of the year, namely from Tishrei to Adar. The months of Cheshvan to Adar contain variables. Those variables are the length of Cheshvan and Kislev and the length of Adar, or the year itself. Once I get to Nisan, there's a fixed formula, there's a fixed number of days in every month between Nisan and Tishrei. Never changes. So the relationship between Nisan or and the length, the number of days between Nisan or the holiday of Nisan, namely Pesach, and the holidays of every other year, day, or all the other holidays that fall in that time slot, are fixed. It's a fixed ratio. And that led us to this chart, the fact that between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach, or more correctly stated, between Pesach and the Rosh Hashanah following, there's a fixed number of days. That never changes. Between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah preceding, there's a variable number of days. Between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah following, there's a fixed number of days always. That fixed number of days is, in fact, 163 if you add them all up, which leads us to the conclusion that the third day of Pesach will always be the same day of the week as the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The third day of Pesach will always be the same day of the week of the Rosh Hashanah following. Correct. Yeah, that's, I'm just reviewing. Right, and that led us to the following. If we work through all the holidays of that six-month period, namely all the holidays between Nisan and Tishrei, with one exception, I included Purim here, and of course we're talking about the Purim before Pesach, not the Purim following Pesach. I don't know if I made that clear, but that is the fact, the case. And the relationship has an acronym. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. It's called Atabash. You work the letters of the alphabet forward and backwards. The forward letters corresponding to the day of Pesach, first day, second day, third day. The backward letters referring to an acronym for each of the holidays, Tisha B'Av, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, etc. My interest, or our interest, is in Rosh Hashanah being the third day of Pesach, because that led us to our ability to rewrite this chart. This is the chart of all the different permutations of the year. 14 possibilities. We rewrote that chart using not Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah and Pesach this year, which tells me when Rosh Hashanah is next year. The reason we changed that variable, the two charts are exactly identical. The reason we did that is because it allows me to create a symbol for all the variables of the year containing only one year. This chart forces me to use two calendar years in my calculations. I'm looking at 5769 and 5770 always. This chart, all the information here is 5769 or whatever year I'm in. So it's a simpler chart to work with because I can apply it to all kinds of local scenarios within the year. And you'll see at the end of our discussion today, I'm going to do just that. I'm going to give you an example of all the different types of years, and we're going to look at a calendar. That's my goal for tonight. Yes? The first column is Rosh Hashanah this year, and the second column is the day of Pesach this year. In my previous chart, I had to use Rosh Hashanah this year and Rosh Hashanah next year. But the same, remember that Rosh Hashanah next year is the third day of Pesach this year, because the number of days between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah is fixed. Follow me? In other words, the charts are identical. If Rosh Hashanah next year is a Thursday, when is Pesach before Rosh Hashanah? Tuesday. You follow? If Rosh Hashanah next year is Shabbos, then Pesach before that Rosh Hashanah, which is Pesach this year, is Thursday. So this chart is identical to this one. It's just the information in it is contained within one calendar year. That just gave a simpler variable to use. Okay? Now, that led us to the final conclusion, which I think this is where we ended last week, namely that even though there are in this chart four variables, those four variables are. Right, what are those four variables? Rosh Hashanah, Pesach. Excuse me? Year type, Chaserah, Kesidah, Shlema, and leap year. Those are my four variables. Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, year type. However, I showed you last week, because of the way the chart happens to work out, that the determination of the leap year, for remember the 19-year cycle? I don't even need to know the 19-year cycle. If I know when Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, and year type are in any given year, it automatically tells me if it's a leap year or not, because no two columns in this chart come up at the same day. In other words, let's take an example. Rosh Hashanah is a Thursday, and it's a Shlema year. In a regular year, Rosh Hashanah Pesach will be on a Sunday. In a leap year, Pesach will be on a Tuesday. If I know that it's Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Pesach is Sunday, and the year is Shlema, I know it has to be a regular year. It can't be a leap year, because these no two columns in this chart give us the same information. So in fact, excuse me? No, I think it actually, I don't know. I think that's how it came out. I'm not sure it's by design, although mathematically it's probably built into there somewhere. I'm not enough of a mathematician to know that, to understand that. But it tells me that the leap year, that one of my four variables I can remove. It doesn't really matter which. I can do it the other way around too. If I told you it was a leap year, and Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, and Pesach was Sunday, what year type would it be? Chaserah. Why? If I knew it was a leap year, here's the other Sunday in the chart, right? But that other Sunday is a simple year. It's not a leap year. So not only are two columns different, but within each row, every leap year and every gravid year is unique. In other words, any three variables will determine the fourth. Yeah.
So this coming Rosh Hashanah is on a Shabbos.
This coming Rosh Hashanah is on a Shabbos, correct.
So, and it's Chaserah. Well, it's not
I don't know if it's Chaserah or not. If you're talking about this coming Rosh Hashanah, you're talking about whether next year is Chaserah.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't looked at that yet.
So how do you... Oh, yeah.
Well, you have to make one of the determinations. You either have to determine whether it's a leap year or a regular year.
That's not a leap year, so...
Right, but then I have to determine when, which one of the possibilities are. So if it's Chaserah, it'll be Sunday. If it's Kesidra, it can't be Kesidra. And if it's Shlema, it can be Tuesday or Thursday.
So by the chart, you don't know unless you know if it's a...
You need three variables. You always need three variables, but they can be interchanged. For example, if I know Rosh Hashanah is...
Not three variables.
If you know what
this year is a leap year, so we know that next year is not a leap year.
No, forget the leap year. Forget the cycle for a moment. If I give you information based on a year without telling you which year it is. If I give you, for example, I tell you that Rosh Hashanah this coming year is a Shabbos, and I tell you that it is that Pesach is on a Tuesday, can you tell me if it's a leap year or not? No. You need one more variable. You need the variable of Chaserah or Shlema. But if I tell you it's a non-leap year, okay, Shabbos, Pesach on a Tuesday, non-leap year, then the year has to be Shlema, because the alternative Tuesday is a leap year.
What I'm saying is that sometimes you need only two. I know that this year is a leap year.
Right.
Then I know.
No.
No, I'm assuming.
Not unless you know it's Chaserah, Kesidra, or Shlema.
I know that there is not two consecutive leap years. So I know that next year is not a leap year.
Oh, fine. So you know it's not a leap year, but do you know it's Chaserah, Kesidra, or Shlema?
I don't need to, because I know that...
Do you know that it's Tuesday?
Yeah, I know that...
Then you have a third variable. You always have to have three variables. Right. But I still need to know whether it's a regular year or a leap year. I still need three variables. I always need three variables. And therefore, these are my three variables, and there's no way around them. I will always need to know the day of Rosh Hashanah, the year type, Chaserah Kesidu Shlema, and the first day of Pesach. Given those three pieces of information, I don't need to worry about whether it's leap year. Leap year will be built into the calendar. I could do it the other way around. I could do it with leap year and take year type out. This is simpler. Which led me to the same chart that we had before. This was where we ended up last week. We had the exact same chart that I had earlier with one addition. Now we're going to learn the nomenclature of what is called a kvi'a. A kvi'a determines the year. It tells me everything I need to know about the year. It is a three-letter number or a three-digit number that tells me all my variables. So, for example, if this Rosh Hashanah is a Monday, let's go back to this chart for a second. These are the nomenclature of my kvi'a. First day of Rosh Hashanah goes to Aleph to Zion. Right? If Rosh Hashanah is a Sunday, my first letter of my kvi'a is going to be Aleph. If Rosh Hashanah is Monday, the first letter of my kvi'a is going to be Bet. And if it's Shabbos, it will be Zion. In numbers, we number them 0 through 6, so it's a little bit confusing. That's because of modulus 7 mathematics. So if I'm using an English number, Shabbos is 0, and Sunday is 1. So just be careful. Year type, Chaserah Kesidu Shlema, in numbers is 0, 1, and 2. And the day of Pesach works the same way as Shabbos, Aleph through Zion, or 0 through 6. Coming back to this chart, let's work it through. If this year Rosh Hashanah is a Monday, what's the first letter? Now let's look at the first box. What is the first letter of the kvi'a? Bet. If the year is Chaserah, what's the second letter of the kvi'a? Chet. If Rosh Hashanah is a Tuesday, what's the third letter of the kvi'a? Now fill in the rest of the chart. Bet Chet He is Rosh Hashanah is Monday, the year is Chaserah, Pesach is Thursday. Bet Shin He, Rosh Hashanah is Monday, the year is Shlema, Pesach is Thursday. Bet Shin Zion, everything the same, Pesach is Shabbos. Gimel Chaf He, the year Rosh Hashanah is Tuesday, the year is Kesidra, Pesach is Thursday, or Shabbos. And you have it. Now, notice something interesting. This box, these two boxes here, share two out of three letters in the kvi'a. These two boxes here share two out of three letters in the kvi'a. That's obvious. They share the Monday, and they share the Shlema. It's by design. It's not an accident. They differ only with regards to Pesach, a.k.a. Rosh Hashanah next year. Similarly here, both Tuesdays, both Kesidra, Pesach differs, whether it's a regular year or a leap year, because the length of the year is different. This groups the kvi'ot into groups, based on the first two letters. So I have the Bet Chet group, meaning Rosh Hashanah is a Monday, the year is Chaserah. Leap year or regular year will determine when Pesach is. Similarly here, Rosh Hashanah is a Monday, year is Shlema. Leap year or regular year will determine when Pesach is. Which, if you think about it, makes a great deal of logical sense. Now, those 14 year types are the only year types allowed that we have in the calendar. And then we can do some interesting mathematical statistics. We can go through our calendar and we can start to count. How often is this kvi'a? How often is this kvi'a? For example, we know that there is one year type or a one year configuration that is very rare. And it is Pesach on Motzei Shabbat, the famous year of Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbat. It is very rare. It happens to be a quirk of the calendar that in the last decade and a half, it has come often. But rest assured and relax, it won't happen for another 20 years. And on average, it only happens once every 20 years or so.
It's like 11%.
Right. We're going to get to the number in a moment. So I can begin to put these into statistics. How often does each kviya come about? Now, take a look at the chart. Which kviot, and there could be more than one, which kviot are Pesach on a Motzei Shabbat? Pesach on a Sunday. Pesach on a Sunday happens here, here, and here. That's it. So now when I start to group them together, this is the same kviya that we just had. Nomenclature in Hebrew and in English. This is what it means. Zion is Shabbat, is Rosh Hashanah. Chet is Chasera, Aleph is Pesach, etc. These are the frequencies of the calendar. So as you can see, the single most common frequent kviya is this one. Rosh Hashanah on Thursday, Kesidra, Pesach on a Shabbos. That is the most common, singularly common kviya. The ones in which the Pesach falls on Sunday have very small frequencies. 4% over here, going down the list. 3.6 over here, going over here. Another 3.6. Very rare configurations. If you put them together, Pesach on a Sunday is also the year, by the way, when Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday, the year the Rosh Hashanah following. That only occurs, 11% of the time. Pesach on a Tuesday or Rosh Hashanah on a Thursday occurs 33% of the time, Thursday and Shabbat 28%, etc. Why? Well, the reason should now be very clear. I'm not sure what I'm doing in this chart, but let's stick to this chart and it's very clear. The reason is because it depends on when the Molad is. If you remember, for Pesach to fall on a Sunday, that means that Rosh Hashanah has to be on Tuesday. Rosh Hashanah following. When is Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday? Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday when Molad Tishrei falls on Tuesday, on or before 18 hours or 9 hours if it's not a leap year because of Gatrad. When it's not a leap year because of Gatrad. Remember that if Rosh Hashanah falls on a simple year, 9 hours, 204 parts, Gatrad, or later, Rosh Hashanah is postponed to the next day. Or till Thursday.
Next possible day.
So Rosh Hashanah will fall on Tuesday only when the Molad falls in a very small gap. Tuesday up to the 9th hour, or on a leap year up to the 18th hour. Whereas on For Rosh Hashanah to be on Thursday, the Molad has to occur any time on Thursday up to the 18th hour, or any time on Wednesday, or any time on Tuesday post the 18th hour. You follow? For Rosh Hashanah to fall on Shabbos, Molad has to be Thursday late afternoon, or Friday, or Shabbat. Any of those configurations will give you Rosh Hashanah on Thursday. So there are more possible configurations that allow for Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, for Rosh Hashanah on any other day of the week other than Tuesday. Tuesday is the only day that doesn't have a day before it that it would share Rosh Hashanah or Molad Tishrei with. And that is essentially why Rosh Hashanah is so rarely on Tuesday and why Pesach is so rarely on Sunday. Somebody's cell phone is singing. This is simply another way of looking at the same thing. These are simple years and leap years and the frequency of them. I'm going to skip that chart for now. Which leads us to this chart. Now, you don't have a copy of this chart yet. You have a small version of it. You are about to get a big version of it. I could trouble you to take one and pass it down. Here, just take one and pass them down. You just give me a pile. Okay. And just pass them around. Just take a pile and take one and pass them back. Take one and pass them back. Okay. The chart that you're looking at right now is on the third page of this handout. You have the full version of this chart. Okay? Take a look at it on the board for a moment. It'll be easier to understand. This is essentially from the same book which I showed you once before, the chart of all the Molad Tishreis. Remember a couple of weeks ago I showed you a chart with all the Molad Tishreis? If anybody doesn't have a copy of that, I have extras here. This is the same book. It printed the Kviya for every year in the 2,000 years since we've had a calendar. In other words, starting with year 4105, or 4111, actually, which is the first year of the calendar, up to year 6,000. This is every year. It's one page. You have one page with every that goes from the beginning of the calendar to the end of the calendar. What you were looking at, if you look at the top left-hand corner, you'll see 4105. If you look at the bottom right, the bottom of the bottom row, you'll see it says 5986. And cut across 14 years and you get to the year 6000. This is the Jewish calendar up to the year 6000. For any given year, what does it tell me? It gives me the Kviya, three digits, and that's all. A lot of numbers here. All it's telling me is the Kviya, because that's all I need to know. So if I zoom in, here's 5758. 5758, count the columns. 5758, 59, 5760, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69. 5769. That 315 is this year. This 023 is next year. No, something's wrong here. What did I do here? Yeah, it's the wrong year. Okay, forget that. It's this one. 315 and 023. Let's see here. 315 and 023. What does that mean? This year is 315. What does that mean? It means that this past year, Rosh Hashanah last year was on a
Tuesday.
It meant the Cheshvan and Kislev each had, one had 29 days, one had 30 days. The one means Kasidra. And the five means of Pesach this year is on a Thursday. Is Pesach on a Thursday this year? Yes, it is. Was Rosh Hashanah Tuesday last year? Yes, it was. The Kviya for next year is 023. That means that Rosh Hashanah this coming year is on Shabbos. It means the Cheshvan and Kislev each have 30 days because it's Shlema. And it means that Pesach next year will be on a Tuesday. And those are it. Those are the variables. Everything else is fixed. I have the Kviya set for every day in the calendar. Every year in the calendar. From now until the year 6000. There's not a lot left to calculate. And of course, could end here, but it won't. So, how do we build a Kviya? How do we build a Kviya? How do we set the Kviya based on the Molad of Tishrei? No, let's go through the steps. What do I need to know and how do I do it? Let's say I give you Molad Tishrei. I say Molad Tishrei this year is X. Let's pick an arbitrary number. Let's assume for the moment Molad Tishrei. I tell you this year Molad Tishrei is 371057. Throw a number out. What are you going to do with it? You want to build the Kviya. We are now Hillel HaKatan. We are now going to build the calendar. What do we do with that number? What are my variables? What do I need to do? First thing I need, Molad Tishrei. Second thing I need, that's out of order. All right, Molad Tishrei, that's the out of order. Second thing I need is what year I am in the 19-year leap year cycle. Once I have that, I start to play the game. Namely, I need to calculate when should Rosh Hashanah be, not this year, but next year. So I have to calculate Molad Tishrei of next year. I have to calculate when the holidays, what the four Dechiyot. Is the Molad Tishrei a legal time for Rosh Hashanah? So I have to start applying. the Mola Tishrei of next year, the Dechiyot, and that will lead me to the Kviya. And I can go through the math, and I can go through all of the complicated Dechiyot that we went through last class, and step by step work it through. Or I can take a shortcut. And the shortcut was to chart it out. Because, of course, if I know when the molad is this year, I automatically know when the molad is next year. Because it's a fixed relationship. It's only a fixed number of days. If I know when the molad of Tishrei is, and I know whether it's a regular year or a leap year, I know exactly when molad Tishrei is next year. The molad this year tells me when the molad next year is. So I can calculate, I can factor that into my equation. And I can chart out all those four dechiyot. And so the Rishonim did. And the Tur wrote a chart in which it looks something like this. This is a variation of it. His chart is all in Hebrew, our chart is in English. But essentially, this chart allows me to play the game. Plug in, I can even calculate this on the computer. I can plug this, program this into a program. Give me a Mola Tishrei, and out comes the Kviya. Simple equation. How? Works as follows. These are ditto marks in case you can't see that. But it works as follows. Here are my 19-year leap year cycles. Now, they're variations. How close I am to a leap year will determine when Mola Tishrei is. So I divide my chart into four rows based on what year I am in the leap year cycle. Before a leap year, after a leap year, Gatrad has to play a role, Betu Tokpat has to play a role, leap year and regular year has to play a role. Number one. Number two, these are the starting times for Molad Tishrei in that box. Meaning, if Molad Tishrei falls on a leap year any time between Shabbos 0, 18 hours, and zero parts, before the next box, which would be Sunday, 1 day, 20, which would be Sunday, 20 hours, 491 parts. Any time in between, I'll be in this box, and that's where I plugged into the chart. Now, I follow the chart upwards. And upwards tells me whether Rosh Hashanah is, what day Rosh Hashanah is, whether the length of the year is Shleima or Chaserah, and the parentheses being a leap year and the regular number being a non-leap year. So for example, let's work the math. Let's say I told you that Molad Tishrei was the third year of a 19-year cycle, and the Molad occurred on Shabbat afternoon, 22 hours. So third year of a leap year cycle is a leap year. Agreed? Shabbos, 22 hours, falls in between these two boxes, so I'm in this box here. Now I follow it up. My kviya is Monday, chasera, hey, Felipe. So my kviya would be bet, chet, hey. Do you follow that? Let's say I told you that the Molad Tishrei was the second year of a leap year cycle, and Molad Tishrei occurred in the second year of a leap year cycle. Molad Tishrei occurred Thursday afternoon, 16 hours. Where would I be? Which box? Thursday afternoon, 16 hours. Which box would I be? Where would I be? Here? 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 No. No. Here. Because this box is 18 hours. And I said 16 hours, so I put you here.
Okay,
you just got to carry this box down. I could have repeated it, but it got too busy. So I did it this way. Now, if I'm here, on a second year, it means that I'm on a non-leap year. Correct? So now I just follow it up. And my kviya is Hey Shin Aleph, Thursday, Shleima, Pesach. Done. That's all I need to do. Simple exercise. Want to play the game? Take out a pen. Take out a pen. And let's play the game. First year of Machzor Katan, year 5758. This, by the way, this chart that I've given you here, this is actually the Machzor we are in right now. We are right here, 5769. That's Mola Tishrei 5769. This is our 19-year cycle. So it started in 5758 and it'll end in 5776. Let's do a simple game. First year of Machzor Katan, Mola Tishrei is 541129. Where do we end up? I need one second. I had this. Okay, let's chart it out together. Okay, 5, 4, 1, 2, 9, right? Okay. So let's go back to here. 5, 4, 1, 2, 9 puts me in which box? We're talking about first year. Let's find the column first. But first, find the row. Number one is down here. Regular year following a leap year. 5, 4, 1, 2, 9. Where will I be? Right here. Because this box is 5, 9. So I'm right here. It's a regular year, follow it up, and I get 5, 1, 0. 5, 1, 0. Or Hey, Chav, Zayin. Okay, let's do the second one. 5, 7, 5, 9. Second year of Machzor, 2, 12, 10, 05. Second year, where's my second year? Second row. 2, 12. So 2, 12 is where? Stop me when I get to 2, 12. Right. Here, because this is 2, 18. That's right. 2, 12, 1, 10, 05. So therefore, I go back up. It's a regular year. My kviya is 225 or bet shin hey. Write it down. You're gonna check yourself in a minute. Should we do one more together? Let's do one more together. Third year of a leap year cycle is a leap year. Goa chazat 5760 621801. Okay. Third year is which row? Top one. Okay, and we're dealing with 612. So 612 puts me, 621. 621 puts me here. Up to Shabbos of 18 hours. So I stay here. And it's a leap year. So where am I? 0, 2, 5. Zayin Shin Hei. Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Shabbos. Now let's look at it logically. Why is Rosh Hashanah going to be on Shabbos? Because? Lo Adarosh. Why is the year going to be Shlema? The year is going to be Shlema because next year's Molad will be Zaken and Adu. And so we have to make the year 2 days longer. So it already builds into account the fact that if I'm Friday at 20 hours, not only do I have Zaken to worry about, but I have next year's Zaken to worry about. So it's already built into the chart. You follow? You want to finish the exercise just for the sake of it? Or should I give you the answers? You want to play the game a little bit? We can fill in the rest of the chart. Fill in the rest of the chart. Here's your chart. Can we fill it? Do it at home. Yeah. Leap year versus regular year. Because these rows serve both, these columns serve both regular year and leap years. So So the distinction is made up here.
Which one is which?
The parentheses is leap year. I think I wrote that down here, actually, beneath the... Yeah?
That means that a 19-year cycle, the total number of days in 19 years don't have to agree. It can be a different amount each year. It can be a different amount each 19 years. In other words, the first year of the cycle, you come back 20 years later and match that first year again.
Correct. Because the calendar is not cyclical over 19 years. The molad and the calculation of the tkufa was cyclical over 19 years, but the actual calendar is not cyclical over 19 years. How long will it take for the actual calendar to become cyclical? I'll show you. It's an interesting observation. People thought. There is a calculation. I can show it to you mathematically. All right. Let's move on for the sake of time. This chart gets filled in. If you want to fill in the numbers, there you have your answer cheat sheet. And if you really want to cheat, all you need to do is look at the next chart. Actually, no, not the next chart, but the next page in those three pages. You have the kviya of the entire 19 years, and you can check your answers because I put a box around them. So you can go home, play with the chart, fill it in on your own, then check your answers, and you can have fun. I had fun doing that. I hope you do too. Excuse me? Yeah. All right. Now, the question of the repetition of the calendar and the cycle, right, is a very powerful question. And there was, for a period of time, how many years will it take for the entire calendar to reset itself and start repeating the cycle of kviot? I've given you a chart with close to 1,600 kviot. How many years will it take for the entire cycle of kviot to simply repeat itself? This question was asked. There was, for a time period, a theory that it was 247 years. I don't know if you've heard that number or not. But it is not, in fact, accurate. The actual calculation can be figured out mathematically. So this I got from a book written by a professor of mathematics, actually professor of physics and electro-optics. His name is Professor Leo Levy, who was the rector of Mechon Lev when I was studying there. He wrote a book called Jewish Chrononomy. Today it's called Halachic Times for Home and Travel. And it's been reprinted. He has in the beginning, all those charts in English, all those number charts come from that book. And in there, he puts the following formulation. I'll translate it into English in a minute. But what he writes is, the correct value of the period can be found by taking the number of parts in a week, total number of parts in a week. How many parts are in there in an hour? 1080. Multiply by 24 hours per day times 7. Number of parts in a week, which are the possible values of the molad, and dividing this number by the highest common factor of this number and the remainder of the 19-year cycle. What he means by the remainder is, after 19 years, how many days, hours, and parts does the molad shift over 19 years? 235 months. How many times? 235 times. One day, 12 hours, 793 parts. So, let's translate that into English. The Machzor Katan is 235 months. The remainder is essentially how many times, 235 times the monthly molad shift of one day, 12 hours, 793 parts. That number comes to 2 days, 16 hours, 595 parts, modulus 7. Now, 2 days, just to put this into math that we can work with, is 64 times 1080. Sorry, 2 days, 16 hours is 64 times 1080. It's 2 days is 48, plus 16 is 64. How many cycles will it take for this number to return to an exact multiple of 7 days, 0 hours, 0 parts? How many cycles will it take for that number moving 2 days, 16 hours, 595 parts, will it take for it to come back to a multiple of 7 days, 0 hours, 0 parts? That's essentially the question. So in mathematical terms, this is what he just said. Take the number of parts in the week and divide it by the highest common factor of the number of parts in the week and the remainder of the 19-year cycle. That's what he just said. Agreed? Mathematically, the number of parts in the week is 7 times 24 times 1080. The highest common factor of 7 times 24 times 1080 and 64 times 1080 plus 595 is equal to 181,440 over the highest common factor of those two numbers. The bottom number is 36,288. It'll take 36,288 cycles. That means, in other words, the number of years it will take for the calendar completely to completely reset itself is 689,472 years. So in close to 690,000 years, the Kviya cycle will repeat itself. In the meantime, we have to calculate it manually every year, I'm sorry to inform. Questions? How did I come to it?
Why?
Because people thought that it was a 247th cycle, so they kept making mistakes. They thought every 247 years, you could just go back to the calendar as it was. Years. They thought it was a 247-year cycle. They had some mix-up in the numbers. So somebody sat down and calculated the correct mathematical formula and said, stop playing games, just go and do the math. Questions? Yes? Well, this yes, after many tens of thousands of years, we will go out of whack because we are lose. But that's already part of part two, which is the solar calendar. We'll get to that in the next two sessions, which are post-Purim. But essentially, our calculation of the solar calendar, Tkufat Rav Adar, loses a day every 216 years. So every 216 years, our Pesach gets a day later in the season, on average. That means that after I go, each season is 3 months. So do the math, it'll take a lot of years before I'm out of the spring. There is a shita that says that it has to be earlier, but I haven't seen that in the Rishonim, so I'm going to leave that issue for now. Is this clear? Okay. With this, clear as mud. With this, we have concluded all of the discussions pertaining to the solar calendar calculations. We know when the Kviya is. We know how to calculate a Kviya. We know how to take a Molad and the leap year cycle and create the Kviya. There's nothing about the lunar calendar that we have that we operate with on a daily basis that we couldn't calculate from scratch. What we don't know are two things. Number one, so what? That we don't know. Right? So what? Big deal. What do I need this for? That's my first question. My second question is all the issues related to the mitzvot that are based solely on the solar calendar, which are in fact Talum Matar and Birkas Hachama, that remains to be discussed. So what we're going to do is divide the rest of this course into two discussions. Discussion number one, which we will begin tonight, are what are the practical applications or implications of the quirks of the calendar? I don't mean when the holidays fall. We know when the holidays fall. But there are quirks in this calendar. There are some years when some days don't exist. And other years when certain days do exist. How many people here have seen Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates of Penzance? Okay, good. One of my favorite plays. The paradox of the Pirates of Penzance is a guy who was born on February 29th. How old is he?
He won't be 21
in 1940. Right, 21st birthday, or is he 21 years old? The calendar, the Hebrew calendar, multiplies the paradox of the Pirates of Penzance by many fold. Because there are many days that don't necessarily exist in any given year. So some of the practical shilas come up in terms of birthdays, in terms of anniversaries, etc. Your sites. There's bar mitzvahs. 100%. Bar mitzvahs. There's another issue which we haven't even begun to discuss, which is the sidrot, the yortzeit's birthdays, put them in the same category. Another practical issue. We have a number of parshiot in the week, in the year. We have to read those parshiot over the course of a year. If the year keeps shifting length, that means that the number of Shabbatot I have in any given year is not the same, necessarily the same. So if I have to read all the parshiot of the year between one Simchas Torah and the next, I've got to figure out how to divide the parshiot. And since there are more parshiot in the Torah than there are weeks in the year, obviously some weeks I'm going to have to combine, and some years I'm going to have to separate. What are the rules? How does that operate? So that's our next project, to look at all of the practical little issues. Then, towards the end of this course, which will be the weeks after Purim, we will discuss Talmud Matar and Birkas HaChama. That's our work for us moving forward. So let's start with special anniversaries. What are the issues? We can have birthdays whenever we want, but from a halachic point of view, there are only two moments when the anniversary of something, there are two halachic contexts in which the anniversary has significance. Namely, bar and bat mitzvahs and yortzeit. And those are pretty much it. What are the problems? The problems pertain to two arenas. Number one, Adar. Some years have one Adar, some years have two Adars. Will the real Adar please stand up? Fair question. Problem is exacerbated because Adar 1 and Adar 2 don't have the same number of days. One has 29 days, one has 30. Second problem, 30th of Cheshvan and Kislev, Malei Chaser. Not every year has a 30th of Cheshvan. 30th of Cheshvan is only going to exist in years that are Shlema. Not every year has a 30th of Kislev. Years that have a 30th of Kislev are years that are Kesidra or Shlema. Correct. But not Chaser. How many years do Cheshvan and Kislev have 29 days? Thank you. They all have 29 days. 29 days doesn't bother me, because every year has 29 days in Cheshvan and Kislev. I only need to know about which years have 30 days. So, let's start with anniversaries. And we'll get to... we asked these questions before, which is the real Adar and the 30th of Cheshvan. Here's the rule. The rule is that when I have a question as to which day to celebrate, birthdays and yortzeit work by opposite rules. When it comes to birthdays, I take the later date possible. When it comes to yortzeit, I take the earliest date possible. So, for example, if something occurred on, let's say, Adar, and now I get to a leap year. So if it's a birthday, I will postpone to Adar Bet, because I will take the later possible date. Whereas if it is a yortzeit, I will bring it earlier, I will take the first possible date. So let's deal with Adar first. Adar is always the simpler issue. An event occurred on a simple year, any day during Adar. In a simple year, Adar has how many days? 29. So I never have to worry about the 30th. In a simple year, a yortzeit, bar mitzvah, a death or birth occurred on a simple Adar. In a simple year, that's a no-brainer. I celebrate on Adar. In a leap year, a bar mitzvah is an Adar 2, postponed. A yortzeit is an Adar 1. That's the rule.
What's the logic?
The logic is very simple. You tell me. Birthdays are based on how old a person is. So we are machmir to give them the benefit of the extra month of age. Let's assume for the moment we don't know if it's the first Adar or the second Adar. So by Chumrah, when are you going to take somebody as a bar mitzvah? Take the later date, because it's more machmer, and you avoid the suffix, right? Make sure. Yahrzeits are not based on how old something is, it's based on when you commemorate, out of kavod, commemorate the day. So there we're machmer the other way. And we take the first possible opportunity to commemorate that anniversary. Don't let the date go by without acknowledging the anniversary. Now, some, for an extra chumrah, will say Kaddish on both Adars. But their chiyuv, yahrzeit, is only on the first. For the Gabayim, it drives them nuts because they assume that there's two yahrzeits, and people assume there's two yahrzeits, therefore they're chiyuvim twice. They're not chiyuvim twice, they're chiyuvim once. They have a minhag to say Kaddish, the second Adar as well. The original minhag was to fast on a yahrzeit, and the minhag was to fast on both days. Okay, that's a personal chumrah. But in fact, the yahrzeit is the first Adar, the birthdays is the second Adar. Leap year is a little more complicated, because in a leap year, it works in reverse. I have an event that occurred in Adar Aleph or in Adar Bet, celebrated in a non-leap year. And then I have to worry about the 30th of Adar. So here my variables get a little trickier. If the event occurred in any day in Adar Aleph, Adar Aleph is 30 days, so N means any day other than 30, 1 through 29. Then in a simple year I celebrate in Adar, and in a leap year I celebrate in Adar Aleph. That's easy. Agreed? You with me? Excuse me? There's no other option. That's a simple one. That's not an issue. This is a little trickier. If the event occurred on the 30th of Adar, well, let's do Adar Bet first. The same simplicity we had with Adar Aleph will apply to Adar Bet. If the event occurred any day in Adar Bet, in a regular year we'll celebrate it in Adar. In a leap year we'll celebrate it in Adar Bet. The tricky part comes in the 30th of Adar Aleph. Because in a non-leap year, Adar doesn't have 30 days. It only has 29 days. So if a birthday or yahrzeit occurred on the 30th of Adar Aleph, I have the following scenario. Do you remember what I said about 2 days Rosh Chodeshes? Remember 2 days Rosh Chodesh? Adar 30th of any month has two names. It is the 30th of the month, and it is the first day of Rosh Chodesh of the following month. So the suffix is, do I go by the last day of the month or Rosh Chodesh of the month following? That's the suffix. So based on the same principle, bar mitzvahs I postpone to the first day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in this case, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And in yahrzeits, I commemorate it on the 30th of Shvat, which is the last day of the month before Nisan. This 30th of Adar Aleph, before Adar, right? This 30th of Adar Aleph is either the last day of the month before Adar, or the first day of Rosh Chodesh following Adar. So I will either work with, and I only have one Adar, I'll either work with Rosh Chodesh following Adar, which in this case is Nisan, or the 30th of Shvat, the last day prior to the month of Adar. So that's where the suffix comes in. And so... No, you're thinking of Cheshvan Kislev, not Adar. You're thinking of Cheshvan Kislev, not Adar. You'll see the next chart is Cheshvan Kislev, it works with the 29.
If we're talking about a simple year, which is one Adar.
Well, what are you talking about? Because Shvat is the month before Adar.
And what is that in relevance to the 30th of Adar? I don't understand.
Well, the 30th of Adar in a leap year is Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet.
Okay.
So the 30th is the last day of the month prior to Adar Bet. So Adar Bet is the real Adar. So the last day prior to Adar is the 30th. In a regular year, it's the 30th of Shvat. Yeah. Correct. In reverse. I got a better one for you. You could have two boys born, and bar mitzvah of the younger one will take place before the older one. That's even worse. It happens all the time. It's a famous case in the Mishnah. Because if one is born in the 20th, forget the Shkia, just a simple example. First is you have two children. One is born, forget twins and brothers, just two children. One is born on the 20th of Adar Aleph, and the other is born on the first, on the 4th of Adar Bet. In a regular year, one born on the 4th is going to have his bar mitzvah first, even though he was born 2 weeks later. That's much rarer, but you have cases where every leap year we have kids born in Adar, and the younger one is going to have his bar mitzvah before the older one. Now, the Cheshvan Kislev story is much more complicated. You thought that was complicated. The Cheshvan Kislev story is much more complicated. Not every year has 30 days of Cheshvan and Kislev. So again, what occurred when? So let's deal with, and this I already explained to you, that the 30th of any given month is also the first of Rosh Chodesh of the month following. Birthdays are easy. Birthdays, bar mitzvahs, they are easy. If the event occurred on the 30th of the month, Cheshvan or Kislev, then when you have that 30th of the month, in a year when you have a Cheshvan Kislev for 30 days, so then it's done the 30th of the month. When you don't, you simply move to the next day. So, for example, if somebody was born on the 30th of Kislev, in a year where his bar mitzvah occurs and there is no 30th of Kislev, his bar mitzvah will be on the first of Tevet. That's easy. Yahrzeits are more complicated. And the reason the Yahrzeits are more complicated is because there is such a thing as a chazakah. And so what we do is we added a variable to the discussion, which is, what is the nature of the year, the first Yahrzeit? And that will determine whether or not this Yahrzeit is considered the last day of the month or the first day of Rosh Chodesh of the month following. So the chart looks like this. When a first Yahrzeit occurs, again, the same scenario, the event occurred, the death occurred on the 30th of Cheshvan and Kislev. If the first Yahrzeit was a year with 30 days in the month, because you can have 2 years consecutively with 30 days in Cheshvan or 30 days in Kislev. You can't have two Adars consecutively, but you can have 2 years consecutively with 30 days in the month. Correct? 30th of Kislev, of Cheshvan Kislev, 30th of Kislev occurs in years that are either Kisidra or Shlema. I can follow one another. So when that happens, that creates a chazakah that the Yahrzeit is on Rosh Chodesh. Then, with years that don't have that 30th day, the Yahrzeit will be on Rosh Chodesh of the next month. So for example, if the death occurred on the 30th of Kislev, and the year following there is a 30th of Kislev, so for my first Yahrzeit, I commemorated the Yahrzeit on the 30th of Kislev, which is Rosh Chodesh Tevet, for every year subsequent, I will always commemorate that Yahrzeit on Rosh Chodesh Tevet. Either the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tevet, which is the 30th of Kislev, or Rosh Chodesh Tevet by itself, which is the first of Tevet. It'll flip-flop based on whatever the year is. But it's always going to be on Rosh Chodesh. I do not know. That is a good question. I don't know. I don't know whether the program we use to determine the yahrzeit in this shul has this calculated correctly. I have no idea. Second issue: if the first yahrzeit was 29-day month, so for example, the death occurred on the 30th of Cheshvan, and the year following was either Kesidra or Chasera, and there was. Sorry, the first year was 30th of Cheshvan. The second year there was no 30th of Cheshvan. So that set in place the idea, the chazaka, that the yahrzeit is always the last day of Cheshvan. The years that have a 30th of Cheshvan, it'll be 30th of Cheshvan. The years that don't, it'll be the 29th of Cheshvan.
Rather than
the first of Rosh Chodesh the following. Correct. That's the difference. We're not talking about Avelis, we're talking about the yahrzeit every year. Clear? Okay. Now, the question is, do we have time to do the Sidrot? All right. Let's do another few minutes. The weekly Sidra problem. This is a chart of Chumash. Parshiot of the Torah, from Breshit to Vayechi, Shmot to Pekudei, Vayikra to Bechukotai, Bamidbar to Masei, Dvarim to Vezot HaBracha. Of course, Vezot HaBracha is never read on Shabbat. It's actually... 1 second. One second. Can Simchas Torah fall on Shabbos?
No.
No, because Simchas Torah is always...
It can, because Shana Rabba cannot be on Friday. No, Shana Rabba cannot be on Shabbat.
Right. Because the Chutzar to Shmini Atzeret, in the Eretz Yisrael to Shmini Atzeret. Okay. Lo Badu Pesach. Lo Adu Rosh. Okay. Have to figure that one out. But be that as it may, that notwithstanding, it's irrelevant to us. We have a total of the following number of parshiot in the year without Vezot HaBracha, 53. 12, 11, 10, 10, 11, 53. Now, how many Shabbatot in the year are there? And not how many Shabbatot in total, but how many Shabbatot available for Kriyat HaTorah? And why do I say it that way? Because Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach is not available for the reading of a parsha. Shabbos in which a yontif falls is not available for the reading of a parsha. So how many Shabbatot are there available for the reading of the Torah? Well, that depends on A, whether it's a leap year, and B, how the holidays fall out. Well, how the holidays fall out is called the Kviya. So the Kviya now will also tell me how to divide the parsha. And the way it works is as follows. This is a chart of how many weeks available there are, how many weeks are available to us for Kriyat HaTorah of the Parsha of the week based on simple years, non-leap years. These are the Kviyot of non-leap years. Remember, there are 7 Kviyot of non-leap years and 7 Kviyot for leap years. Each Kviya tells me information about the Chagim. So, for example, 001 tells me that Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbat, Pesach is on Sunday. There are 353 days in the year because it is Chasera. Good. Total of how many Shabbatot? 51. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Now, of those total 51 weeks, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot take up 3 Shabbatot. Because Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, Sukkot falls on Shabbos, and Shmini Atzeret falls on Shabbos. So 3 Shabbatot are out of the running. Pesach and Shavuot take up 1. Namely, Pesach falls on Sunday, which means if the first day of Pesach is a Sunday, the 7th day of Pesach is Shabbos. So I lose another Shabbos there. That leaves me a total of 47 Shabbatot. No, this is not Israel yet. We'll get to Israel. This is not Israel. This is everywhere. This is universal. There are 7 days of Pesach everywhere in the world. 023, Rosh Hashanah is Shabbat. The year is Shlema, which means that there are 355 days in the year. Pesach is on a Tuesday. Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos takes off 3 Shabbatot, same equation. Chol HaMoed Pesach, because Pesach is on a Tuesday, will take off another 1. I lose 4 Shabbatot, I'm at 47. You with me? 203, Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday. The year is Chaserah, Pesach is on a Tuesday. Total of 50 weeks in the year, because I start the year on a Monday instead of on a Shabbat, so I lose a Shabbat. 1 gone for Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday. Rosh Hashanah is Monday, Tuesday. Yom Kippur is Wednesday. Sukkos will contain a Shabbat Chol HaMoed. I lose 1 Shabbat for Chol HaMoed. I lose 1 for Shabbat for Chol HaMoed Pesach. Shavuos is a Wednesday. I don't lose anything for Shavuos. I lose 2 Shabbatot out of the 50. I left with 48. 225. We can do the same equation. Here, however, note that in second day of Shavuos is a Shabbos. So in Chutz Laaretz, I lose 2 weeks. But in Israel, I only lose 1 because there is no second day Shavuos in Israel. So that's when Chutz Laaretz shifts away from Israel. So in a Kviya type of 225, I will lose sync between Chutz Laaretz and Israel on the Parsha. I'll have to make it up somewhere. I have 47 weeks in Chutz Laaretz and 48 in Shabbatot in Israel. Kviya 315, similarly, I lose 1 for Chol HaMoed Sukkos because Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday. I lose 2 for Chol HaMoed Pesach and second day of Shavuot. In Israel, I only lose 1, and the same equation. Pesach on a Thursday, sorry, Rosh Hashanah on a Thursday, 354 days. I have 51 Shabbatot in the year. I will lose 2 for Yom Kippur, because if Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Yom Kippur is Shabbat. I will lose 1 for Chol HaMoed Sukkot, 1 for the first day of Pesach, and 1 for the 8th day of Pesach, which puts me off sync again with Eretz Yisrael. And similarly, 521, I have 51 weeks in the year. Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, I lose a Shabbos for Yom Kippur, and Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and the 7th day of Pesach, 48 weeks. 53 Shabbatot, 53 Parshiot, in either 47 or 48 weeks. I'm going to have to combine. This chart is the same thing, only for leap years. Now, leap years start with 383 or 384, 385 days, namely 54 weeks plus either 5 to 7 days, which is 54 or 55 Shabbatot. If I take off the ones for the holidays for each Kviya, doing the same exercise that I just did, I end up with anywhere between 50 and 53 Shabbatot a year. It's only 54 Shabbatot, 54 Parshiot. Clearly, I do not need to combine many Parshiot on a leap year.
53 are on the edge.
Right. And so I can begin to explore the rules by which I determine when leap years are, or when Parshiot are combined and when they are separated. Now, of course, none of this need concern the average person because A, you get a luach, and B, you get a balkore and a rabbi, and they figure out what parsha it is. Or the secretary in the office has to figure out what parsha it is because she's got to write the announcements. But most of this is pre-printed in the luach. But for the exercise, here are the rules. Number one, there are no parshiot combined before the month of Adar. Almost. Actually, there's an exception to that rule. The exception is if I'm considering Nitzavim and Vayelach part of last year's Cheshbon. Sometimes Nitzavim and Vayelach get combined. But otherwise, in terms of the Breshit forward, there are no combined Parshiot before the month of Adar. From Breshit all the way through. There are no combined Parshiot in Breshit. There are no combined Parshiot in the first half of Shmot. The first combined Parsha in the Torah is Vayakel Pekudei. We'll get to Nitzav Vayelech. One step at a time. I suspect, yeah, because the variables are all Adar Sheni related, and the variables are leap years, Devarim before Tisha B'Av, and Nitzavim Vayelech. Those are your variables. So the issues are all related to the second half of the year. These are the four parshiot that are almost always combined in a simple year and almost always separated on a leap year. I need four extra Shabbatot on a leap year. So four predetermined double parshiot are a function purely of whether the year is a leap year or a regular year. Why almost? Why almost? Because there's one exception. There's one exception. And the one exception is 5-2-1. Why 5-2-1? Because 5-2-1 is not a leap year, but Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, which means that Simchas Torah is on Friday, and because it's a Shlema that pushes Pesach to Sunday, and that gives us an extra Shabbat during the year. So that is why on that Kviya type only, Vayakob Akudah are separated. I'm going to stop here because I think the rest of it's going to get a little more complicated and I've run out of time.
What's the priority to what?
There are three variables. Leap year will determine these four.
47, 48, 50, 51.
So we go in sequence. These four parshiot are predetermined leap year configuration. In a leap year, they're separated. In the non-leap year, they're together. And the other ones all relate to Devarim and before Tisha B'Av and Nitzavim Vayelech by Rosh Hashanah. So we'll get to them. We'll start from here. Now, there's no class next week because of Purim. So our next class will be in 2 weeks' time. I'll review this. We'll start from here. We're almost finished with this, but I don't want to take more of your time. We'll leave the end of this for the beginning of our next session, and then we move on to the two mitzvot of Tal Matar and Birkat HaChama.
I would have thought the rationale for when you have double parsha would have something to do with keeping Israel and Galut not out of sequence as much. But you're saying it has nothing to do with that.
No.
But, you know,
only one. But when they get off sync. So there's one double parsha that puts us back on sync.
Yeah, but does that double parsha happens as soon as possible?
No.
No, it kind of goes on for...
Because we take advantage of...
It doesn't go on for 11 months.
No, it goes on until the summer.
It goes on until three weeks, till Tvarim,
until we figure out what happened to Tvarim.
But
correct.
That's not a parameter, as we say.
No. Because there was... When the calendar was set up, people didn't travel. You didn't travel. It takes 3 months to travel from one to the other. You know, they didn't have to worry about doing it. Nobody got on the plane and flew to Eretz Yisrael or vice versa.
A member of this show had their son study a parsha to read it at the Kotel Hamarvi and got there. And it
yeah, in today's time. World, it's more complicated. 100%.